First, we're going to talk about S&P protocol breakdown. I had some protocol dumps I wanted to show you guys, but oh well. We'll learn a little bit. S&P has been around since the 80s. There was a talk earlier today on replacing S&P version 3 with Tripwire, which is pretty cool. And the guy talked a lot about the same stuff I'm going to talk about, so I apologize for the overlap, but you know, what can you do? S&P preceded SGMP, the simple gateway management protocol, was a lot of bullshit. It was defined in RFCs, and you know, they said, hey, we need a way to manage agents. You know, we need a way to manage network electronics in our infrastructure. So what they did was they implemented a simple protocol, which defined basically four different types of operations, consisting of get, set, you know, walk, blah blah blah, and what we have now is a sort of a management glue that kind of bonds every enterprise infrastructure out there. The only viable solution to talking to any network electronics in bulk is SNMP. This is what Cisco pushes, this is what IBM pushes. Everyone pushes this protocol as the way to manage your infrastructure. And it's kind of a shitty thing because S&MP sucks from a security perspective. S&MP version 1 had hell yeah. Just open that shit up. All right. Yeah, let's talk. Okay, good. Now we could be in the same wavelength, some visualness. I hope everyone here's been drinking, because I have. Woo! Let's get drunk afterwards, too. I fell off a fence last night, and I chipped my tooth and busted my nose. It's been a bad weekend, man. First night we were out here, we got arrested. If anyone here is a lawyer, dude, I seriously need some advice, because I have to be back in Nevada on September 4th to serve a court date for littering. What the fuck are the police thinking out here? Seriously. There's mobsters, there's prostitutes, but fuck, I was littering. Hey, who cares, right? So, anyway, I need advice. Anyway, let's talk about S&P some more. Is this going all right? Shit. So, I mean, how many people here come from an enterprise perspective? Woo! That's what I'm talking about. What is that? What does that say? Oh shit. Hey, no. That's all we gotta do is hit Alt D. Just cancel that shit. Yeah. Or not. Alright, yeah. Just view.
You should see.
That says view slides, right? Fuck, man. What is going on? Woo! All right. So S&P protocol breakdown. Let's talk about S&P. We can do. Hell yeah. I'll drink to that. Anyway, we're going to talk some about S&P. I'm sure everyone's heard a little bit about it. A lot of hype in the past year. We're going to talk about enterprise infrastructure. So, okay, like I said, preceded SGMP, you know, was designed in order to manage network electronics, routers, printers, even Unix servers, a la, if any of you guys are EHAP guys, www.toplesslolitas.com is a nice free BSD box with fucking S&MP agents running on it. I don't understand these sysadmins mentality. They pull the devices using S&MP in server farms and big managed infrastructures. And so, anyway, every S&MP conversation requires a communication to entities. What we have through S&MP is something called a manager and an agent. Our agent exists on the device we're attempting to manage, be it a printer, router, anything. Our agents, which communicates to the network electronics, it's kind of our middleman. You know, We talk to the agent in order to find out status of the device. Temperature, processor utilization, blah, blah, blah. But we kind of get a little more involved when we start considering our agent also has the capability of modifying configuration and you know, adding on to the network electronics, like via you could change IP addresses, possibly you could change passwords, security, you know, stuff. But like what we can really do some damage with is when we know exactly what we're looking at. We have to know the hardware, and we have to know what the hardware supports, a la SNMP. So, you know, SNMP transport mechanism is default over UDP. How many people here like UDP? UDP sucks, right? Come on. UDP is connectionless oriented transport protocol that does not require authentication, does not require a handshake, does not require shit. It's a blind protocol. We send it, fuck, who cares if it gets there or not. So, let's hear some more boring stuff. SMI is the RFC, you know, that defined the structured management information. And really what it did was said, hey, this is how this sets the precedent. This is what how we're gonna talk about the language that manages network electronics. It's boring stuff, and it's called abstract syntactical notation, version 1. You guys may have encountered this in, you know, your directory structures such as LDAP, or I heard some mail transfer protocol was using the same thing, but I don't care. MIBs are the definition they're what SMI defines, basically. When you look at a MIB, you're not looking at anything fancy, you're looking at a text file that says, hey, this is what our agent does for us. And so our MIBs are our life. When we're talking about network electronics, we want to attack or we want to do something with, the MIBs are the first thing we go to, and we say, hey, if whatever they're supported by, we download the MIBs, and we say, we have to look through all of them and figure out what exactly these MIBs can do for us. Because the MIBs are basically, they define what we can do with SNMP and what we can't do. You know, and the protocol itself was defined in RFC 1157, blah, blah, blah. What we have to understand is, when we're talking in the context of SNMP, we're talking about some dumb ass definitions that get really, I mean, IETF and all that stuff, you know, they're very formal and you know, you have to respect them for that, because they are what gives us the capability to have the internet and stuff like that. So, but their process is formalized, this protocol that's really simple and giving it a lot of addendums and stuff like that, and it kind of gets complex. Even when we're talking about 4 operations in version 1, so we have to get our terminology down. And the thing is, the terminology changes a little from vendor to vendor, but we're all used to that, right? So, in SNMP,
because you need one.
Yeah, please. I'll change to that. In SNMP, the way we have structured our information is through the object identifiers, using abstract syntactical notation. And it's a tree-like structure, just like anything else. You guys run NoVal, you guys run Active Directory, same thing, tree. You know, we start at our root, we go down. All these organizations have registered, you know, and blah, 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 and gets down. The most important thing we have to deal with is MIB2. Every single SNMP-enabled device in the world supports MIB2 as of now. I mean, it's a pretty bold claim, but I swear to God it's true. You know, MIB2 is what we use to talk to interfaces on. We can talk to interfaces on a server. MIB2 is supported by Windows boxes, it's supported by Unix boxes, whatever. We love MIB2. MIB2 is how we get the most information, especially from a management perspective when we're doing protocol baselines and stuff like that. MIB2 is how we get our the utilization of our interface and stuff like that. But it also defines interfaces. Interfaces become really important later. So whenever you want to talk to an SMP-enabled device, you just work your way down the tree. Most of it's, you know, independent of the vendor that the device is made by. But you get into what's called the private, the private leaf. And the private's where your 3COM, your proprietary Cisco 3COM, Linksys, all that stuff is. And they let you do some pretty funky stuff. So just research that. A security fund. Security issues are not discussed in this memo, RFC 1157. That sets the precedent for SNMP security, basically. Our passwords are, we don't even have a user password-based mechanism for authenticating devices. What we have is community strings. That until SNMP version 3, all we had was a single word that let us, gave us any kind of access we want to on a network electronic. So basically, all we have to do is get access to the management VLAN of the enterprise and look at one single packet that their management station is polling devices with, and we have access to their infrastructure. It's really easy. I mean, like, there's a lot of you know, documentation out there on securing your management infrastructure, but in reality, this isn't a viable solution from a bureaucratic perspective, because our managers have more pull than our security personnel. Everyone knows that, right? The people who give us money for, you know, supporting our network say, hey, we like pretty graphs. We like things we can see. If a security guy does his job right, you don't see shit. You just see your network working. If a management guy does his job right, he says, here you go, man. Here's all these green graphs, and you know, this is what our network looks like at this time of day. They define how our quality service agreements are working with our ISPs and shit like that. So managers have a lot more pull than security people, especially in like a segregated environment where there's all that bureaucracy going on. So our managed policies take precedence over our security policies, and this gets really crazy. This lets us attack networks that are huge. So, for simple operations, this is the SMB version 1. This is the first protocol, you know, transport mechanism that we're going to talk about. And basically what we have is a GET. We ask our agent for a specific, you know, thing about the device. We say, hey, how are you doing today? Are you sad? Are you happy? How's your temperature? We say, how's your processor utilization? We just send a GET packet. We don't care if it gets it or not. We'll send it again. It's UDP. Then we have our SET. SET's what we use to attack. Our SETs are the mechanism in which we compromise networks with. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. And traps are what our agents do for us. This is how management infrastructure lives, is through traps and something else called inform, which is a more formal trap. Our traps will tell us our network is behaving a certain way based on thresholds and stuff we've defined on the agent. And our get next just says, hey, after you get this value after this specific OID, which is the OID is the part in the tree, is the numbers in the tree. Here's a protocol dump. As you can see, what I did here, I plugged into a campus network, sat down with my fun little Toshiba laptop that doesn't work for shit, and said, hey, I'm just going to watch. I was on a student VLAN, and they were passing SMP traffic back and forth. You know, hey, this is what community string we're using. And it was a SET request. It was so cool. I was just like, thank you. You know, we have, this is probably one of the biggest universities in Southern California, and we have access to anything we want to on their network. And basically this is our, you know, the kind of the formalized packet. We have two parts, a message header and a protocol diagram unit, or, you know, and we just, in our packet, we have our version numbers, our community string as the header, and our PDU is really the meat. We're going to talk a little bit about PDUs more because When we're attacking in the blind, which is basically every time you're going to attack using SMP, you're not going to know how the agent responds from a managed perspective. So we're talking about man-in-the-middle attacks, sending SMP packets, and seeing what happens. Our error codes are very important. So our error status is where we learn to attack, where we learn how our attack has been implemented in the agent. And there's other stuff, request, ID, PDU type, but just, you know, package structure. So, and then we move on to SMP version 2. And really, there's three versions of SMP version 2, defining RFCs, and the thing was, nobody liked the way it was performing. They defined management, they defined, like, security, but it didn't work out, you know, just because it's proprietary stuff was sort of pushing over all these other people. And we had what's called SMP version 2C, which is the same exact thing as SMP version 1, same security mechanisms, community strings. That's it. The only thing that's different is our error codes and sort of the protocol operation. When we attack an SMP version 1 enabled agent or an SMP version 2 enabled agent, same thing, you know, no different. SMP version 3 is what we have to worry about. Our error codes are here, you know. Probably the most important error for you guys is to look for is called a bad value. When you get a bad value back from an agent, he's telling you that specific operation you try to tell him to do is not working. And this applies totally in the context of sets. When you try and set something, and that type of set value he's not capable of doing, he's going to tell you, bad value, man. Sorry, I'm not accepting this. And see, sets are a shitty thing because a lot of times, like in our MIBs, we have to set other things. We have to send sets to other parts of the MIB before we can set certain you know, other things. Like, for instance, our favorite MIB from a management perspective is called RMON, or Remote Monitoring MIB, and that lets us do alarms and stuff like that. We aren't allowed to modify our RMON table until we've set the operational status of the RMON MIB, such as trap, such as it's by default on most devices user defined. But in order to edit it, we have to set that to code 3, which is MIB in progress or something like that. But it's like it's a lot of BS. But SMP version 2, more error codes. And this gives us, error codes are what give us our fingerprinting capabilities. We have to listen to error codes when we're attacking a managed network. Because they tell us, especially when we don't have the ability to know what we don't have the ability to know how our stuff's performing ahead of time. Shit. Exactly. I'll drink to that. Neither, huh? I didn't pray to Allah today. He's upset. Seriously. But okay, so let's move on without the fancy pictures. So what were we talking about? Error codes? Drinking. Oh yeah. All right, let's get to something interesting, because this is just killing me, and I'm talking. Okay, SMP version 3. It's all the talk these days, right? You know, oh shit, authenticated management protocol. Woo. You know, by default, 56-bit DS key space. Wow. No. You know, SMP version 3, the way it's implemented in enterprise, you know, you have to know what you're doing. Like, very well. You have to come from a security background, or else it's just not viable. It's a lot of work, and managers don't do this. Seriously, I swear, I'm come from a managed consulting background. I do, you know, big stuff for big companies and see how their infrastructure is working, and they just don't like to. It's so much work, and the reason why is SMB version 3 took a whole new thing. They said, hey, we need security. We need a way to authenticate messages and conversations. We also need to encrypt our data. So what they did was they defined something called the user management model, which is an RFC 2574. And all SMB diagrams consist of three parts. It's called message global data, which is our header, our message security parameters, which is our life, and message data, which is our the part of like our variable bindings and stuff like that. So our message security parameters are how we define how we're going to authenticate. By default, SNMP version 3, still, even if we enable it on our device, we still have to define a way we can talk using it. And we have to define users. We have to define the contexts when the users are allowed to talk to our devices. And we have to bind it to a specific SNMP engine. That the engine is when computed with the hash, gives us our passphrase, gives us our encrypted key. So we need to do a lot of stuff in order to get this infrastructure up and running. And so let's say we're looking at a network with tight security. We got managed devices talking only SMP version 3 with encrypted authentication and in encrypted data. You know, the handshake, everything's going on, and we're like, we can't sniff it. We can't do anything. How are we going to compromise this network? The main point of our attack needs to be at the user systems table, or USM. You know, it resides on the agent. It gets kind of fuzzy here because like it's weird. It's not an SNMP enabled like entity or terminology. It exists out of SNMP. We can't talk to our USM table with SNMP. It's defined in the RFC. So what we have to do is we have to circumvent this, meaning we have to attack our router using different methodologies, i.e., you know, breaking our protocol structure, such as attack us plus, you know, faking handshakes, stuff like that. So that's when we start. That's when we start attacking the entire infrastructure. And with SMB version 3, we don't have too many options as of now. Except from an exploitable perspective, recently there was these guys from the OU University published what's called the Protus test suite, right? And the test suite was attacking it was doing SNMP injection of, you know, specific PDUs on version 1 of the protocol, and they're doing agent overflowing and stuff like that, you know, exploiting viable buffer overflows.
ASM1, I thought that was an actual attack on ASM1, on which SMP resides, or is...
Right, well...
I thought ASM1 was kind of the weak link, and then all these other protocols are on top of it.
No. Well, see, ASM1 is the way we define our hierarchy, of the way we define our MIDs. It's only a way of... Like, our agents exist, they don't know about ASM1.
Right.
They exist independently. The Protus test suite was attacking the way agents interpreted data, regardless of the way the data was sent. They were sending, you know, with most of our definitions, which I kind of wanted to show you, there was like, we define in ASN, this specific OID has read-write access, has, you know, it's a string type, or it's an integer, it's a gauge, blah, blah, blah. So what we can do is say, hey, we could try and overflow the string. It only takes so many, you know, so many characters before it breaks. And with the agents that existed on that device, certain ones didn't know how to handle the overflow and stuff like that. So that's the way, from like a strictly codable and like perspective of attacking using like exploits, where we have to use approach test suite and the ideas they've given us, because they did a lot of work and they did a really good job. As far as the big misconception is that somehow MIBS and abstract syntactical notation, all that stuff, is all tied together, but it's not true. We can talk as long as we can send a packet to these people, they don't care what it is. The way they interpret it is going to be the thing that makes us break or, you know, not the system. But and let me talk a little bit more about MIBS. MIBS are just a database of managed objects that the agent monitors or manipulates. It's a way of us thinking about the database of managed objects. The SMI provides a way to define using ASM. And what we need to do when we're looking at the MIBS we want to exploit is we need to get a MIB compiler, because they do the work for us. So, you know, probably your best bet as far as tools goes is NetSNMP. Awesome. It's just programming library. There's all kinds of extensions, and everyone's writing for it. Like, they're doing a great job keeping up to date and patching it and anything like that. And it supports SNMP version 3. So we could do a lot with it. It's a little less less, you know, user-friendly than your standard management like interfaces, but we don't care about that. We're trying to break into systems. We're not trying to look pretty. So, and here's kind of what I want to show you about MIBS examples, but oh well. So, what we want to do when we're trying to attack something is we want to...
Chuck!
Exactly. We want to talk about Ocean's 11 a little bit. Have you guys ever seen the movie Ocean's 11?
The original, the shitty remake.
The shitty remake with Brad Pitt and George Clooney. What did they do in Ocean's 11? They robbed 3 casinos, and the way they did it was they built the same vault as the casino did, right? They, from the ground up, they did everything ahead of time. When we're breaking into a network, and we want to use managed protocols as our attack, you know, our attack vector. We want to know exactly how these attacks are correlated in the environment and responded to. So, the more you can get, if you could write your own agent that responds just like that, you know, the more stuff you can get that is an analog to the network, the better off you are. Just like in Ocean's 11. Because if not, we're going to be attacking in the blind. It's just going to be like hijacking a TCP session. We're not going to know what the fuck's going on. We're just going to have to say, hey, let's try it, you know, sequence numbers and everything. But, like, so, and the thing is, there's so much information out there because vendors want their devices to be easy to manage. So, we use our MIBS, we use our compilers, we use our tools, we set up an environment that emulates this type of network, and we say, hey, let's go out. When we're inside a network, we want to look for 2 things, traps and informs. Traps are one-way, you know, dumps of what's going on the network, and those are what tells us the most about the information. Those tells us 2 key things, the trust relationship on the management network and where we need to look to break the management sector. Traps will always be sent to a management station that basically manages the entire network, or, you know, a segment of it. So, when we look at the trap, we're going to try and identify where it's going and what it contains. Traps usually, by default, contain same community strings that other networks the managed devices communicate. It's not a two-way thing, but people implement it like a symmetric, like, you know, like conversation. It's not. You don't need the same community strings to talk back to a network management station that you do to ask it questions. So that's what we're looking for. The informs are a little more formal. It's a way of making sure your trap has gotten there. It's just a handshake, saying, hey, I got this message. The only time informs are not going to work is when your network goes down and when you can't get your datagram to the device. So, yeah, Cisco. Oh. Or System Disk Error. Our favorite SMP tools. Scripts. Two different scripts. Scripting stuff is SNMP, which I already talked about, which is the best. Good stuff. Go get it if you like SNMP. Also, we have the Tickle, TLK, and Scotty, which is the interpreted language. It's super simple. It's a really cool language, dude. And we want it. It has a lot of potential as just being simple, robust. We can do what we want with it, with, you know, complex polling and search methods. The next best thing. The thing that's our life, if we're going after a network with SNMP as our attack vector, is sniffers. We have to use sniffers. Even if the data is encrypted, the sniffers are going to tell us everything we need to know of the hierarchy and the topology, stuff like that. So, and that's the thing. That's kind of what's appealing about using this to attack networks is it's unintrusive. We don't have to do anything. We don't have to install backdoors. We don't have to, you know, compromise like file servers, anything like that. We use what the networks have implemented already. They don't know we're there if we do this right. They can't. Intrusion detection, if we're using the trust relationship on a managed VLAN, intrusion detection doesn't mean shit. You know, we exploit the way these devices exist in the hierarchy. The next best thing is, if we're attacking blindly, we have to brute force our community strings. The problem with that is, if they're doing trap handling right, they're gonna set traps back to network management station saying the authentication failed, this person's trying to brute force. So we have to think of creative ways to attempt using, you know, really long changes in timing and stuff like that. So it's brute forces are sloppy. And like I was talking about earlier, the Protoss test suite is kind of it's in Java in compiled files, and we have to do like we have to. What's going on? But Protoss test suite, whatever. Armon, let's talk a little bit more about Armon as an unintrusive packet sniffer. We're going to have network electronics that support the Armon nib let us sniff packets on their network without them knowing about it, if we do it right. So what we have to do is we have to send, on Cisco devices, they require exec access as the command line to enable Armon, like, sniffing. So that's one of the key things in getting an Armon, you know, nib to tell you stuff is compromising a Cisco router, and by then you're like, hey. But other network electronics are more susceptible to Armon attacks, and we have to look for two key things in the tree: our filter and our capture tables. We implement our filter and capture table using our PDUs, and it will set up an interface that resides in promiscuous mode and will iterate all the data. The PDUs that pass the filter test are then forwarded to the capture buffer table. To set up the data channel, a vacant index must be determined, which is our interfaces. The channel status attribute to create request. Oh, shit. Yeah, but anyway, basically we have to look for two things in your Armon nib: the filter and capture groups, and from there read it, and it's straightforward. And this way we install a sniffer on major hardware that will like for example, company's 6509. their land switch enables us to look up all traffic passing across its interfaces, just using SNMP. If they're competent managers, they'll be able to find out what's going on and what's not. They'll see. I need a. Do we have another? My battery's dying. Skydiving. This is Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, right? So anyway, we like Armand. Armand's very good. We can break a lot of stuff with it. And Armand is also the way we make a lot of money if we're interested in managing, because managers love Armand. It tells us every way. It tells us our top talkers, host top end, stuff like that. It's what does our traps. And Armand, like, the thing about Armand, it's still a MIB. It's still, like, SNMP. The only thing is, when they define the RC, they define matrix-style, like, architecture, which was, like, a big thing back then, because they were doing, like, you know, straightforward, you know, tables. So it was like kind of a step forward in the management world. So we want to talk about reconnaissance. How, when we're looking at a network and we want to break it, what are we going to do from an SNMP perspective? We want to identify the network first. Big thing is the access lists. All right. Access list detection from an SMB perspective sucks, because when we're using version 1, version 2, and we're sending our packets, we're going to get the same response from an access list device as we would if we were using the wrong community string. So this is where sniffing comes in, and this is where our... Woo! Oh, hell yeah. So
anybody see?
F5, I think it makes it.
F5,
baby, cool.
Control-Alt-Delete.
Hey, it's Microsoft. What do you think?
Okay, so the best way we're going to get into a network. Yeah. Is So when we're gonna get into a network, the best bet is through the DMZ. Because our DMZ is typically not managed correctly. Either they're letting in, they don't have the proper ingress filtering and stuff like that. So we're, the way we want to do is go after a host in the DMZ, you know, be it a web server, you know, or anything like that, and that will give us the trusted capabilities inside the network using SNMP. Because I wish I had that fucking picture, but I forgot to write it. I was drunk. So basically, our let's say our firewall has segmented the DMZ from the private network, and you know they're doing NAT, they're doing all kinds of great stuff. Managers will enable SNMP protocol passes from the DMZ to the private segment. No implementation of a firewall is going to let SNMP traffic pass from the outside inside. It's just not a real situation you're going to find in the wild. So, but from the DMZ, it's different. I've seen it. So look there first. If you can't get there, then the only other thing is you got to get internal access. And our internal access comes from another way, you know, another way, social engineering. I don't need to describe that to you. Everyone here is pretty much educating that. Once inside, we have to attack the management VLAN. Normally, our management VLANs suck, right? I mean, they're not secure by any means, even in like the most standard of implementations. We're looking at a VLAN that will, if they do it right, they're not going to let you route. They're not going to let you route between a management VLAN and you know, a student one or whatever else they got. So that doesn't mean crap though. It's easy to get around. And what the hell is this?
baby!
What's
going on here?
SNMP is also a great way to transport viruses. Just kidding. And I don't know how to use... What does this... What the fuck?
Let it in.
I hit...
Yeah.
Extreme prejudice, baby.
Oh my god. Oh shit. When is SNMP a viable attack mechanism? Not when we want to deplace web pages, people. Like, deface, replace, whatever. We're not going to replace index.htm with SNMP. It's out there. Toplessloyalist.com, yeah, people. But we wanna look at ways of compromising networks, not ways of compromising web servers, all right? We're not going to... If you can run a nice API overflow, great. It's a lot easier. SNMP takes a lot of work. This is the key thing. When we have ways of communicating properly to network electronics, and keep in mind, did anybody see that the talk on printers and stuff like that? Overflows using CDP. That was great. That will give you a great perspective on how we can compromise a major network. We can look at printers. We can look at UPSs with smart management cards. We can look at, you know, any type of network electronic that has SNMP agents enabled on it. And it's everywhere. So what we have to do is we have to get creative, and we have to look at jet direct cards. And we say, hey, we can compromise jet direct cards and exploit the trust relationship between jet direct managers and the jet direct printers. We can compromise UPSs the same way. And it's super easy. Like, and that talk was really awesome. And I have to give that guy a lot of respect, but I don't know who he is. So, SNMP has a tool for attacking reconnaissance. SNMP lets us take over an entire network, given the conditions I'm at, just like everything else. SNMP can give us complete access to their infrastructure, and it will belong to us. But we have to know a few key things: community strings, what type of agents are running, and more importantly, the management hierarchy, which I think is coming up. So network management. So these are the key protocols we see in a network. Network management is basically the way of you know, managing large amounts of network electronics. If you have a network with 10,000 nodes and 300 plus routers, you're not going to be able to go out to every single one and say, hey, what's your MAC address? So we have to centralize our way of querying these things, and this is where network management servers come in, and also network management protocols, SNMP being number one. And then we have like stuff like syslog and Cisco Discovery Protocol, and you know the network time protocol and all that stuff. So NTP. NTP is a management protocol we can look at to maybe get a little more slide in under like the normal ways of what they're looking at, like from a security perspective. So NTP is all it does is synchronize time between electronics, and it normally goes outside to do that, one of those big university like atomic clocks, and so there's ways of authenticating it, but it's normally not authenticated, like it's because it's so simple. So it's a way of communicating to our major routers who synchronize time on their LAN/WAN, and we have to. If we can't do other, if we have no other mechanism, NTP is the way to go. So, CDP, Jesus Christ. CDP is like, oh my God, one of the craziest protocols I've ever seen in my life. Dude, those guys who gave a talk talked about exploiting Cisco ISs. They're writing to the kernel, you know, using CDP as their attack vector. It was insane. CDP is so fucking informative that we can know everything about a network just by sticking our laptop on one of the ports and saying, hey, look, they're just watch. Here's our CDP protocol dump. Okay, you guys can't see that, but oh well. This is basically a device telling the 6509, hey, this is what software version I'm running. This is where I am. This is how I work. Talk back to me. I miss you. So the CDP is the glue that binds Cisco devices. And if you guys ever seen Jeremy Roach talk, he did a lot of this stuff. So I don't want to get into this type of like security mechanisms, because we can authenticate CDP and we can do stuff with it, but by default, same as all the other protocols, it's almost broadcast over their LAN saying, hey, this is what we do. The typical thing managers do, or security people do, is segment this by VLAN. But, you know, we can get around that. Syslog too. Syslog is, you know, it's our favorite thing. Centralizes logging and it's what a lot of people don't understand is syslog is not a way to get to receive traps. Syslog is sort of the log server. It's what happens to our network electronics when we need to log something, a single event. Trap clearing is a completely different thing. But these two things are kind of in the same analog, because we can exploit the trust between syslog and traps and stuff like that, just like anything else. And typically, when a server is like a syslog server, like any of these servers are running multiple services, and this is what we need to identify, is that these management servers are so susceptible to attacks, and they're wide open as long as we can compromise the VLAN. They are easily the most attackable piece device on the network, just because they have to get so much information from the rest of the network. And when we're talking about in the enterprise context, there's a shitload of information. So what are we going to do to help out our infrastructure? We're going to implement access lists. We're going to segregate traffic by VLAN, which should prevent sniffing, but really doesn't. And hopefully filter management traffic at the firewall and at the firewalls. If you want to do it right, you know, do intrusion detection in your VLAN. Do firewalling in your VLAN as well as the rest of your network. You gotta. This is the part of your network that owns the rest of your network. So we have to pay a lot of attention to this. And the thing is, it's not giving too much of perspective, or whatever the word is. I'm drunk. So TACS Plus, we like TACS Plus. This is the way we authenticate and manage devices. TACS Plus is pretty cool. It's better than Radius, but it's susceptible to replay. Shit. But, you know, yeah, the TACS Plus, just like any other implementations, is not that well authenticated. Replay attacks are a way to get into TACS Plus, you know, enabled networks. TACS Plus is over TCP, Radius is over UDP, so you guys know the difference. It's like, if we're looking outside, you know, like from the outside, TACS Plus is not going to be a viable way to get in. Radius is not going to be a viable way to get in. You're going to have to be creative and look at the DMZ first. But when we do get in, we want to pay attention to, you know, the AAA authentication stuff. We want to pay attention to what's going on, because this is the management hierarchy we are attacking. So, and here's more. You know, and like everything else, this is usually centralized over the specific areas of the network using something like Cisco Secure, you know, Access Control Server. But Access Control Server is just like everything else. We can break it through it just using watching the way in which the network is managed. And this is kind of what I'm trying to get across to everybody. It's the way in which people manage networks also tells us the way in which we can break into it. So, like our network management security is kind of a joke. We have our $50,000 solutions that let us pull, hundreds of devices, OpenView's, number one, Cisco Works, all that stuff, Tivoli, Unicenter. And these things are running a shitload of services and a shitload of just unneeded stuff. Like you look at like a HPU Xbox with OpenView on it. You run Nmap against it, you'll see like 15 ports open. It's a joke. And the way we can get into the server is there's too many ways. Like it's too possible. Like we have the Protoss test suite as an SNMP attack vector. We also have our replay attacks and stuff like that. So what we could do is we wanna break into these servers. We can. All we need to know is where they are and how to talk to them, and that's the sniffing part. And I think I'm done. So, anybody have any questions? Questions, comments? Is Shakira in the crowd? I kind of want to talk to her.
Yeah, what did you litter? I'm very curious.
Porn. We were throwing porn at cars.
Oh, man,
yeah, it was crazy.
That is bad.
But we there's too much porn in Las Vegas. I just kind of wanted to spread the word, because I didn't think the cars were getting enough porn. So.
You were talking earlier about
MTV
servers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious, what
led
those by
the attempted
people setting up
focusing
servers?
Okay, this is a good question. Because NTP assumes a trust relationship, right? We're asking a specific device outside of our network to centralize our time. So if we set up a bogus NTP server, there's issues. It's more of like a DOS thing. Like if we set up improper timing, when we try and synchronize with our timing, there's issues that come up when a processor does like the timing like stuff, so it kind of breaks a router architecture and sort of removes the device from the network. That's the only thing I've seen. I've heard there's other ways. It's more of the trust relationship. It gives us a way to communicate to our network electronics and sort of fingerprint what we're talking to. Yeah, exactly. Well, that's why NTP authentication is like the most important like managed protocol, because it's something that's coming from outside our network. So we have to look at it should be key. Anything that's talking to our devices and telling us synchronization information is the most important thing, because it tells us how our devices are supposed to perform. Right. But you have to go pick one. Your device won't just go out there and say, hey, there's an automated NTP server out there. Yeah. Right.
Other people might have been doing other things for many years. Realize that
I've
been very big where I've seen a big issue over management,
feeling
that it's very important that all of a sudden
there's
a change like this. Well,
it's
we're all getting right
time. Right. Well, yeah, and it's time. It's obviously it's not like that big of an issue on your network. The thing is, it gives us potentials for denial of service and stuff like that. That's the reason I mentioned it. It's not a practical attack you see in the wild. It's not. It's kind of worthless. But it's a management protocol just like all the others, and so. Oh really? Yeah. See, there you go. Yeah, it's not it, the synchronization is key in inside, because when your master router doing, you know, hopefully doing redundant NTP like polling and stuff like that, is pushing out times to the rest of your edge, like the rest of your switches and stuff like that. It screws everything up. Like, what if your servers aren't synchronized the same thing as your managed electronics? Then, like, I mean, things don't work correctly. So I don't know. It's fun stuff. Any other questions? Too much, but I want some more. So if anyone wants to go party, Shakira especially. Well, porn, right? Casa, or we're in Las Vegas. Let's just go walk down the street, man. And I'll find some porn. And you know, I just want to give a shout out to the Mumper Babies. They're like an extinct species almost. They're endangered, so we need to look out for the Mumper Babies. No, they're all good. Trust me, we love them. But anyway, it's the last talk of the day, so I hope everyone had a good time, and let's party, and let's do math, analytic number theory.